Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Last day at Tech Ed. Everyone's still excited, looking forward to the party. Yeah, a few tired faces, maybe a few hungover faces. Yeah, a little bit. I'm still super psyched, still super excited. I actually grew up in the area. I'm from Houston. I went to school in Austin. How many of you are from outside the state of Texas? Raise your hands. Wow. Overwhelming majority. Houston's kind of fun, kind of, but if you really want to have fun, go visit Austin. We've got the University of Texas at Austin. Any Longhorns here? Not a single one. All right. We've got the University of Texas at Austin. It's a beautiful campus, very picturesque, definitely worth checking out. We've got amazing Tex-Mex food. There's this place called Trudy's, like enchiladas worth writing home about, and the frozen margaritas. Just amazing. And while you're in Austin, you have to go pay a visit to Sixth Street. Just if you've been to Seattle and you think like Seattle's got a good bar scene, you haven't seen life until you've been to Sixth Street. Fortunately, I'm not here to talk about Austin. I'm here to talk about mobile services. So imagine you have a sales team that's working out in the field. Now, your sales team has certain requirements. They want to be able to store information about the customers that they're seeing. They want to see information about the appointments that they have coming up. Now, as the company providing this service to your employees, you want to make sure that you're able to authenticate your users. So you want to ensure that only people from your company can access that data. Furthermore, you want to alert your employees about important events. So for example, let's say their appointment gets canceled. You could send them an email, but if you really want to let them know, hey, your appointment got canceled, don't go bother the customer, just come back home or come back to the office, you want to use push notifications. Additionally, you don't want to give your employee a device. You want them to use their own phones, be it an iPhone, an Android phone, or a Windows phone. So you've got a rich set of requirements. You want to be able to store data, you want to be able to authenticate users, send push notifications, and all of this has to be cross-platform. Sounds like a lot of work, right? It's a lot of back-end technologies that you need to speak to, a lot of frameworks, probably a different set of tools that you need to use. No. My name is Marwan Hade. I'm a program manager on the Azure Tools team. And today, I'm here to tell you that using Microsoft Azure Mobile Services and the IDE that we all use and love, Visual Studio, you can spin up a backend that spans all your needs, that can actually give you an application, a backend that meets all those requirements. So how many of you are familiar with mobile services? For how many of you is this a true statement? Raise your hand. Okay, a few hands out there. So we'll make sure to start off with a really good overview of mobile services. We'll talk about some of the key principles of mobile services and how that'll make sense for any device, any data-driven application that you're building. We'll then go hands-on, hands deep, into Visual Studio. And we'll take a WinStore application and we'll add a backend for you. And we'll see just how easy it is. So mobile services. I alluded to this a little earlier. It's that one backend that gives you the ability to store data on the cloud. We support SQL DB right out of the box. You can also use Azure Table Storage, Azure Blob Storage, MongoDB. On Monday, we announced hybrid connections, so you can also bring your own database. We allow you to authenticate against different providers, all the standard ones, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft account, of course, and also Azure Active Directory. We've also got push notifications. We use something called Notification Hubs, which gives you high volume, low latency push notifications to a plethora of devices. So you can reach out to iPhones, iPads, Google tablets, Android phones, Windows phones, Windows Store devices, even Kindle Fire. And there's a lot more coming. The way you interface with these different technologies is using a REST API. And we have a client library so that you don't even have to muck with the REST API. We've got client libraries, again, for all the major platforms, Windows Store, Windows Phone, iOS, Android. We also support third-party platforms like Xamarin, so if you're building a cross-plat app, PhoneGap, Sentia. So we like to think of mobile services as that one destination for your data-driven apps. Now, we've got two kinds of runtimes, Node.js and .NET. Our .NET runtime is powered by Web API, and we'll dive a little deeper into that today. So when we started off with .NET mobile services, this is what our core objective was. And I don't typically read from slides, but I'm going to do that right now. So we wanted to enable enterprise .NET developers. Let's pause there for a second. Enterprise .NET developers. So we spoke to a lot of customers when we came out with our Node.js runtime. And we got the feedback, hey, this is great, but I'm not going to port my existing app if it's not in .NET. And I don't want to particularly learn a new technology. I want you to give me something that I'm used to, .NET. So we wanted to enable these enterprise .NET developers to easily add a backend to their apps and use their preferred frameworks, tools, and processes. So basically, we wanted the enterprise to succeed with less work and less headaches. So we wanted to reduce the number of Tylenols that developers need. So .NET mobile services, what is it? In a nutshell, it's web API, but customized for mobile scenarios. So we support, again, data, auth, and push. For data, once again, we have Azure DB built in. We also support things like MongoDB and table storage. For authentication, we support, again, all the major providers. For push, we have built-in support for notification hubs. But what sets .NET mobile services apart is the rich tooling in Visual Studio. So we've got a NuGet package, which you can very easily take and apply to your Windows Store and Windows Phone applications. If you're on iOS or Android, again, we've got a very rich library that you can use if you're consuming these .NET mobile services. We've got a runtime available on NuGet. So if you have an existing web API project, you can just take our runtime, apply it to your web API project, and you've got yourself a mobile service. Now, in terms of Visual Studio support, we've got some great scaffolding. Again, our effort was we want to minimize the amount of code that you need to write. We give you IntelliSense. We also give you F5. So when we came out with .NET, a lot of people said, give me F5 or give me death. I mean, we don't want people to die, so we made sure we had F5 support. Now, to make it easier to debug your applications, we also have a test harness, which not only allows you to view your APIs, but also try them. We've also got remote debugging support. How many of you are familiar with remote debugging? Okay, some of you. So at a high level, you're basically setting a breakpoint on your mobile service that's in the cloud. And you're debugging it almost as if it's on your machine. And if you're wondering if our neighbors in the online retail business across Lake Washington can do it, they can't. You know what I'm talking about, right? We also allow you to publish your mobile service. So unlike JavaScript, where you're debugging your live and you're writing against your live services, you can completely write your application in Visual Studio, and when you're ready, push it out to the cloud. We've got a standard source control story. You can use TFS or Perforce or any of your preferred source control repositories. We also allow you to view runtime logs from within VS. So setting breakpoints is great, but it's more of an advanced scenario. Typically, once my mobile service is up and running, I just want to get a sense of different events. Like, let's say something was successful or something failed, and I want to get a sense of why it failed. So I can get my runtime logs from within VS itself. For notification hubs, we also allow you to send test messages. So you can get a sense of what your push notifications will look like. And you can send it not only to Windows devices, but also iOS and Android. And finally, we've got a way to view your device registration. So people have signed up for push notifications. Who signed up and what sort of things are they looking for? What sort of interests do they have? So we'll get into all that tooling in the course of this presentation. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a demo application. It's called a candidate tracker. So the scenario is I'm looking for talented candidates to hire for Microsoft, right? I'm giving this application to my recruiters. The recruiter is going to enter in candidate info, like name, their email, what discipline are they most suited for, you know, program manager, developer, or tester, or as I like to think of it, the visionaries, the rock stars, and the other guys on the team. And I want to make sure that only people from my recruiting team can log in. And I don't want them to use Facebook or Twitter, et cetera. I want them to use their corporate credentials. And lastly, I want to provide my recruiters the ability to get push notifications when a candidate in their discipline is found. So I'm a program manager, and if one of my fellow recruiters finds a PM candidate, I want to be notified. Like, hey, you better go talk to this guy. He's good. We need him. Lastly, I also want the ability to upload resumes to Blob Storage. See what our demo looks like. So I just want to show you the application. Kind of dumb right now. Nothing connected to the cloud. Very simple. Here's where my candidates would show up. And my mouse has gone to sleep. Here's where my candidates would show up. I can add a new candidate. Again, name, email, discipline. I can upload a resume. And I can also sign up for push notifications. Okay. Let's spin up a new instance of Visual Studio and create a mobile services backend. I'm going to select a Windows Azure Mobile Service project template. Let's give it a name. Call it Candidate Tracker TE for TechEd. While that's being created, so our mobile service project template is really nothing just but a web API template. It's a customized web API template. So we've taken out things like views, and we've added in packages that you'll need for speaking to mobile services. We've also preloaded it with a data object to show you what a data object would look like, and also a controller to give you a sense of what the CRUD APIs would look like. So we'll see that in just a second. So let me first open up my, let's open all of them up. So this is our sample data object class. As you'll notice, it inherits from entity data. If you want, you can write your own data object class without any inheritance. It's simply for enabling offline scenario. I've got a to-do item controller, which just shows you what the CRUD APIs will look like. And I've got a database context class. I've also got a scheduled job. So scheduled jobs are interesting because if in your mobile scenario, you need to send out periodic notifications, you can do that with mobile services. All you have to do is deploy this and set a frequency. Now for my application, I'm going to create my own data object. So I'm going to add in an existing item that I have. I'm going to make a minor tweak here. Let's call it Candidate Tracker TE. Let's compile this. Great. So this class just defines all the data that I have for a candidate. So things like name, email, a discipline, a link to their resume, who uploaded it, also a SAS URI and a container URI, which I'll explain in a little bit. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to add a controller for this data object that will do all my CRUD APIs for me. So I can just do that by going to Add, Controller. You can choose from a variety of existing web API controllers, or you can go with a new one like mobile services. I'm going to go with a mobile service table controller. For the model class, I'm just going to choose candidate, choose my existing data context, hit Add. And basically, within a matter of seconds, I've got my CRUD APIs going. So I've got something to do to retrieve all my candidates, to get a particular candidate, to update my candidate, to create a new one, or to delete it. So let's set a breakpoint in our create candidate method, and let's F5. So what do you guys think of this page? We spent a ton of time in that winky face. I kid you not. So the start page gives you a test harness. And what I mean by test harness is we will look through your project and we'll list out all the APIs that you have. So you've got a sample schedule job, you've got a to-do item controller with certain APIs, you've also got a candidate class with certain APIs. Let's go at post. So not only can I view the inputs and outputs for a particular API, but I can also try it out. So this is what my request looks like. Let's try this out. I'm going to create a new candidate. And let's imagine that I was hiring a candidate called Scott Guthrie. Scott Goo went to Brown. He's a PM, one of the best, most freaking awesome PMs. And let's give it an ID, a random ID. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did you guys notice what happened there? I'd set a breakpoint earlier in my post method, and that just got hit. And I can debug it, I can break through it, I can set a breakpoint, I can step through it, just like I would with any other web project. And this candidate is successfully created. OK. Now I'm going to go over to my client project and hook it up to this local web API mobile services project that I just created. So let me first get a URL for this project. And I'm going to open up my app.xaml.cs and specify it here. Just remove the breakpoint that we set earlier. Okay. The first thing that I want to do is I want to get all the candidates that I've stored in my local database. So all I'm doing here is I'm getting a reference to a candidate table. And how do I know that it's a candidate table? It's because the candidate class is common both to my cloud as well as to my client project. And so when I make this call to get a client, to get a candidate table, mobile services will automatically know that you're referring to a table with a set schema. So get a reference to that table, and I'm just going to retrieve all the entities that it has in it and send it into a list object. Let's see. I see the candidate that I'd added earlier, Scott Guthrie. The next thing I want to do is I want to insert a new candidate. So I can do that, again, by getting a reference. And can you guys see this at the back? Can you see the code clearly at the back? Yeah? OK. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a reference to the candidate table, going to instantiate a new candidate, and I'm just going to set the properties to things that the user has entered. So candidate.name is equal to name text box.text. And then I'm going to have an async operation to insert that candidate into that table. Let's try to create a new candidate. So everything's running. Add a new candidate. I'm gonna add a living legend, Bill G. Bill went to Harvard. What do you guys think Bill is? PM, dev, test, dev? Let's go dev. And I see that that candidate for Bill G is added. Now, if I want to make tweaks to these entities that have been added, I can do that very easily by going through the SQL Object Explorer. So let me stop debugging my client. Just going to open up data connections, go to my tables. Notice how it has both candidates and to-do items. I'm just going to go to show table data. And there I see the candidates that I entered, both from the test harness as well as from my client. Now, the next thing I want to show you is, seems like my app is up and running. It seems like my application is able to get data. It's able to store data. My backend seems to be working somewhat. What I want to show you is how you can publish your application. So we've changed up our publish dialog. Those of you that are familiar with our publishing mechanism for Web API and other ASP.NET projects, we've changed it a little bit. So now you can directly target a mobile service. You don't have to go and get publish settings from a portal or anywhere else. You can simply just retrieve it from the wizard and target it. So to publish, select your project, right-click, and go to the publish command. Just zoom in just for a second. If you go to a mobile service, what we're going to do is we're going to pull down all the mobile services that you have already. So I have two. Or you can create a new one. So you can create a new mobile service from within Visual Studio itself. No need to go to the Azure portal or anywhere else. In the interest of time, I already have our mobile service published. I did it right before this demo, like a minute before. I'm going to go into my project, and I'm going to target that mobile service. Again, to make it easier, you don't have to go to the portal or anywhere else and find the secrets or the identity that you need for your mobile service. We can do that for you using the Services Manager. So I'm going to go to Add Connected Service. The way the Services Manager works is we are going to enumerate cloud-based services for you. Today, we've got support for mobile services and Bing Ads. In the future, we'll be adding more services as well. How many of you have some sort of back-end service that you want people to consume? Anyone? Okay. A few of you. Awesome. Okay. So the way we think of Services Manager is ask not what Visual Studio can do for you, but what you can do for Visual Studio. So if you have a backend service that you want to plug in here, please shoot me an email right after this talk, because we're definitely looking to add more and more providers in here. So mobile services, what's the big deal? I can select an existing service, again, or I can create a new one. I'm going to go with an existing one. The Services Manager will not only prep my client project with a reference to that mobile service, it will also pull down all the NuGet packages that I need to start speaking to the cloud. So basically, as soon as the Services Manager is run, you're pretty much ready to start talking to the cloud. If I go over to the app.xaml.cs file, I'll see that it dropped in this mobile service client object. That's the thing that I'm using when I get a reference to a table. So just as a good practice, I'm going to move this out to a release mode. I'm going to rename it. And instead of debug, let's switch to release mode. Great. So you'll notice a few more candidates show up. Still pulling down data from the cloud. There we go. So it has Bill Gates, Scott Gu, Brian Harry, Soma, Jay Schmelzer, my director. The one thing I want to highlight is, so it's really easy to get a sense of, you can set your breakpoints and you can see how things are acting locally. But if you want to see how your mobile service is behaving out in the cloud, your best friend is runtime logging. Now, the idea behind logging is in your mobile service, you can set statements and provide messages. So it's kind of like console.log. Let's go to post candidate. We can go like services.log.info, and then I can just set in a message of my choice. Now I can see my runtime logs from within Visual Studio itself. So let me go over to the Azure node. Are all of you familiar with the Azure node in the Server Explorer? Raise your hands, some of you. Okay. So we have an Azure node in Server Explorer. The idea is it's an inlet into your services that are running in the cloud. So you can see key services like cloud services, mobile services, notification hubs, VMs, your SQL databases, and you can do key developer tasks. Like if you need to create a service, you can do that. If you want to view your runtime logs, you want to view properties, et cetera. So it's all about enabling the developer to connect to services and consume services that are in the cloud. So I'm going to go down to mobile services. I'm going to find my live service, Candidate Tracker U. I'm going to hit view logs. So this just shows I've added a few candidates successfully. Gives me which file it was added in, which project, and also a timestamp. And I can also get a sense of what sort of errors I have. Do I have any warnings? It's really a comprehensive look into your running application. Switching back to slides. So I've now got an application that can store data on the cloud, and I have a mobile application that can access it. The next thing I want to do is I want to set up authentication so that only users that I have given explicit permission to can access the data. We can do that using Azure Active Directory and mobile services. You're probably wondering why Active Directory? Well, we wanted to bring line of business, that whole mindset, to mobile. And we wanted to give you a turnkey login experience. So we wanted to minimize the amount of code that you had to write to speak to AD. And we wanted to make sure that you could use your corporate credentials instead of having to go through Google, Twitter, or Microsoft account. And lastly, we wanted to enable organizations or enable developers to build applications around organizational structures. So for instance, suppose you're a large web service and you have a developer that's on call to monitor if your web server is up or down. Let's say it goes down. You want some sort of backend to notify his lead, hey, the server's down, he hasn't responded. And his manager, hey, the server's down, he hasn't responded. And the director, and the director of development, and let's say the VP, and the executive VP, and finally the CEO, hey, no one's responded. Without AD, something like that is very difficult to implement. So Active Directory and mobile services, how is that possible? Our friends in the Active Directory team provide an awesome library called the ADAL, or Active Directory Authentication Library. It's the thing that we use to facilitate login into all sorts of AAD-protected resources. And when you log in, you just log in once. And you can not only access things like your mobile service, but also things like your SharePoint site. An Active Directory authentication library is available not only on Windows Phone and Windows devices, but also iOS and Android. And I'm sure we'll be adding a lot more. So how does this whole thing work? Your device connects to Active Directory and says, hey, I want a token to access a mobile service. It provides two things. Here's the mobile service that I want to access. Here is my identity. Your Active Directory then says, okay, I can give you this token because of your identity, and I know that you're only trying to access this resource. This resource has given me permission for you to access it. Your device then gets that AD token back and speaks to your mobile service. Let's set that up in our application. So I'm going to switch over to my client project. And I am going to be uncommenting this line, these lines of code. Okay, you. So what am I doing here? And can you guys still see that clearly in the back? Yep. So what I'm doing here is I first get an authentication context. So I'm speaking to an auth authority and saying, hey, I want a connection to you. I then request a token. Again, I'm specifying two things when requesting that token. Here's the resource I want to access. Here is my identity. The authentication authority will then look at those two things and return back a token if you're truly authorized. So you get back a token, and then you pass it to the mobile service. So let's see that in action. It's going to ask me to log in. Hopefully I'll get the password right. Am I logged in? Yes, I'm logged in. And only now can I get access to my data. So that's the client piece. Let's see what the server piece looks like. The server piece is literally one line of code. That's all you have to do. You basically have to tell the server what you want to restrict. And you can restrict access either by API, or you can restrict the entire controller. So all you have to do is go in here. Let's go with authorized level. And you just specify how you want to restrict access. Now, we give you four default modes to restrict access. You can say only administrators. You can open up access and let everyone get access to your data. So for example, if you're building a brand app and someone's just trying to get a sense of what offerings you have, you might want to go with anonymous. We've got application level security, meaning only your application with an application key can access it. And finally, we've got user-based security. And that's where AD comes in. So I would specify and say only authenticated users can access my data. So I'm going to comment that out. Switch back to slides. The next thing I want to do, now that I can store data in the cloud, and now that I know that only authenticated users can access it, is I want to store files in the cloud. So remember how we saw those resumes? You saw a button for upload resume? We're going to go and flesh that out. Now, why does storage make sense? Simply because it's more cost effective, it's a lot more scalable, and you can access it from anywhere. By anywhere, I mean geographically, as well as from any sort of technology, any sort of backend. You can access it from a website, you can access it from another mobile service, you can also access it from things like your SharePoint site. So what's the big deal about storage and your client? Why can't I just speak to it directly? Is because you can't burn your secrets into your client app. And what that means is things like your storage account key, you just simply wouldn't put it into your client. Because if someone, like a third party, gets a hold of your storage account key, they can just wreak havoc on your storage account. All sorts of NSFW, not safe for work things. So it's just a total nightmare. But that's where storage account signatures or shared access signatures come into the picture. So shared access signatures allow you to get a temporary token for a limited amount of time with limited privileges so that you can access the storage account. So you don't have to have a storage account key. You just get this temporary pass to speak to storage. So how does that work? And you can use any backend, not just a mobile service. To provide context, to sort of keep it in picture, we'll use mobile services. So your device authenticates against the mobile service, and we saw that piece working, and it requests a shared access signature token. Your mobile service has permissions to talk to your storage account. Your mobile service has your storage account key. And it says, hey, storage, I want write access, and I want it for a period of 10 minutes. The storage account then says, okay, you have the storage account key. I'm going to give you a SAS token. The mobile service then sends the SAS token back to your mobile device, which can finally access storage resources using that SAS token. So let's set that code up. Now, the first thing I need to do to my mobile service project is I need to get a reference to the storage NuGet package. And that's actually a really cool thing about mobile services. You can reference any NuGet package that you want from within your mobile service project. You don't have to see if they have something for you or not. If it works with Web API, if it works with ASP.NET, it'll work with mobile services. I'm going to go to Manage NuGet Packages. Search for Azure Storage. Come on, NuGet. You can do it. All right. Great. So I'm going to go over to Candidate Controller, and I'm going to throw in some storage-specific code. Okay, it doesn't like some of these. We're missing references. So what am I doing here? I'm getting a reference to my storage account. I'm then setting up a blob client. And I'm then getting a reference to a container called files. I'm then setting up a shared access policy. So what I'm doing in that policy is I'm saying, I want write access for a period of 10 minutes. You're probably wondering why it's -5 and +5. It's just to account for different clock skews across different virtual machines. I then go to that container and say, hey, container, give me a SAS container token based on this policy that I just specified. And then I'm going to send back the container token to my client through the mobile service. So item.sas URI is going to be set to SAS container.token. I'm going to specify a container URI and also a link to the resume that just got uploaded. Now, one thing I need to do is I need to add a connection to my storage account. So I need to tell my mobile service, here's the key that you need to connect to storage. So I'm going to add that here. Add key. What's the name we're using here? Storage connection string. Now, for the value, again, I don't have to go to the portal. I don't have to leave VS to get my storage account key. I can simply go to the Server Explorer, pick it up, and paste it in here. Server Explorer, let me go to the storage node, and go for candidate files. And let me get my connection string. I'll just copy it, close. Paste it in here. Okay. The next thing I want to do is I'm going to go over to the client and request for this SAS container URI. So we're new candidate XAML.cs. You guys were probably wondering what this ellipsis was for. For some hidden code. Stop debugging. So what I'm doing here is I'm setting up my storage credentials, and those credentials are based on the SAS container URI. Again, important to note, I don't have the storage account key, but I have this temporary token that the mobile service gave to me. I then set up a reference to a blob container and an individual blob. I'm just going to call this blob the name of the candidate followed by docx. And then I'm just going to upload that file. So let's see that in action. Let's first redeploy our mobile service. And then we'll also redeploy our client. So I'm going to uncomment my authenticate code here because I'm working locally and I don't really care too much about authentication. Oops. And I'm going to change to debug mode. I should see the candidates that I'd added before. Great. I'm going to add in a new candidate. I'm going to add in someone named George Michael Bluth, GM Bluth at uci.edu. For Arrested Development fans out there, what do you think George Michael Bluth is? PM? He managed the banana stand? And what was he? He's the inventor of fake block. So we'll upload a resume, George Michael Bluth, and go hit save. And I see that George Michael Bluth is added, but notice how I also got back a URI or a URL for the file that was just uploaded. Now, if you want to see the contents of your file's container, you can also do that from within Visual Studio. So Server Explorer. I'm going to go find my storage node. I have it set up already. My container called candidate files. I'm going to go into a thing called files. I see that there's already a resume for George Michael Bluth. Now, I can also delete things. So let's delete this one. I can upload a new one if I want to. I can save it to disk. And I can also quickly preview my files. It's a very simple resume. Just open it up in Word. So the next piece of the puzzle that I want to solve is push notifications. So far, I have the ability to store data on the cloud. I have the ability to authenticate users. Now I want to send out push notifications. I found a new candidate. Let the PMs on my team know that, hey, you should be looking at him. So by default, we support notification hubs. Why notification hubs, you might ask? First and foremost, it works with any backend technology. So you can use it from a cloud service, you can use it from an IaaS VM, and of course, you can use it with a mobile service. We've got library support for .NET, Node, Java, PHP, and really, your application can be either on the cloud or on-prem. So if you want to use it from a desktop app, for instance, and you want to get a sense, you want to register your clients, or you want to see who's registered, you can do that with notification hubs. You don't have to use mobile services. You can use notification hubs independently. It's cross-platform, meaning we've got support for Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, also Kindle Fire, and we're constantly adding more and more push notification services. It's extremely scalable, with very, very, very low latency. You can reach millions of devices with a single call. And we'll look at a couple of case studies in just a minute. You can push to a particular user or an interest group. So suppose you have a breaking news application, and you have users that are interested in updates about science or updates about technology or business. You can choose to send notifications only to those interest groups. And finally, the main reason why we're talking so much about notification hubs is because it's integrated with mobile services. So you don't even have to interface with notification hubs. You can simply interface with your mobile services, and there's built-in support for notification hubs. So a couple of case studies just to impress upon you the sheer scale and power of notification hubs. How many of you have Windows 8 devices? All right, quite a few of you. So almost all of you have experienced notification hubs because Bing News, Bing Finance, Bing Sports, it's all powered by notification hubs. It comes pre-installed on Windows 8 devices. So we've got tens of millions of devices. We send out over 3 million tiled notifications per day. So every time something important happens, so for example, someone just won the French Open or Wimbledon, or you know, a stock price just went up, or there's a new IPO, et cetera, all those updates are powered by notification hubs. So millions and millions of devices, millions and millions of notifications sent, how long do you think it takes to deliver? Less than 2 minutes. It's pretty incredible. Notification hubs were also used during the Sochi Winter Olympics. So we had cross-platform applications, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. We were basically using them for tracking Olympic results. All these results were stored in a SQL database. And we had hundreds of interest groups that people were subscribing to. So you could subscribe to updates about athletes, about countries, for example, the United States, and also about different Olympic sports, like ice hockey, for instance. So there were 3 million devices consuming notification hubs. And we sent over 150 million notifications over the span of the Olympics. So to get all these numbers, we're not just making them up. Notification hubs actually gives you built-in telemetry. So you can get a sense of how many notifications are successful, how many failed, which devices are consuming those notifications as well. So how do push notifications work? There's two important steps. Step one is registration, and step two is sending the message. So first and foremost, your mobile device speaks to a push notification service and says, give me a unique identifier. So on iOS devices, for instance, you'll speak to the Apple push notification service. On Google devices, you'll speak to the Google Cloud Messaging service. For Windows Phone, it's WNS. For Kindle, it's ADM. So you get a specific identifier, and then you speak to the mobile service or notification hub and say, create a registration for me. Here's my unique identifier, and here are the things that I'm interested in getting notifications about. So for instance, I'll say, okay, I want updates for breaking news on science. Step two is actually sending out that notification. So your mobile service or backend service sends a message to the notification hub, which then sends a platform-specific message, which then delivers that message to your device. It's a lot of moving pieces, but all you have to worry about is the very top. All you have to do is your mobile service. You need to build in logic in your mobile service that sends a message to the notification hub. And the rest is taken care of for you. So let's add push notifications to our demo application. The first thing I want to show you is my client code for registering. So I'm going to go over to my settings.xaml.cs file. Let's actually see what it looks like. So I go into settings. I'm basically subscribing to different updates. So I'm subscribing for PM, dev, or test. When a new PM candidate's added, I'll get that notification. I'm going to this method here. So what I'm doing is I'm basically uploading my channel with the disciplines that I want updates for. In here, I first and foremost speak to the Windows Notification Service and get a unique identifier. In addition to that identifier, I also specify which interest groups I want to sign up for. And then I simply tell the mobile service, hey, sign me up for these things. And the mobile service will take care of the registration process. Now let's move into the server side of things. Now, my mobile service locally needs to have some awareness of the notification hub. So I can do that very easily by adding a couple of connection strings in my web config. So let me do that. I have one here. Let me add that. Yes, I want to stop debugging. I'm also going to specify the name of the notification hub. Okay. The next thing I want to do is I want to actually send a message. So in my post candidate method, I'm going to formulate a string message. And all it does is I found a new candidate. And it calls something called the send push notification method. So let's see what that looks like. So all I'm doing here is I'm formulating a message for my push notification service. So it requires things like Toast, elements like visual, binding, et cetera. So all of this is for my push notification service. And then all I have to do is I need to make a send async call. So I'm saying, here's the message you need to send. Here are the people that you need to send it out to. Let's see that in action. Oops. So I'll just deploy my mobile service. I'll switch back to the client. And I'm going to insert in a new candidate. Big Bang Theory fans out there? Yeah, a couple. All right. So that's Sheldon Cooper. Sheldon@caltech.edu. What do you guys think Sheldon is? Because he's definitely not a PM. Terrible communication skills. Dev test. Dev? Dev? OK, let's go with dev. Let's upload his resume. I actually forgot to do one thing. Let me subscribe to updates for PM, dev, and test. And then let me add Sheldon Cooper. Ooh, I got this update from my mobile service saying, hey, I've got a new dev candidate for you. Go and reach out to him. Now, when we came out with our Node.js tooling, a lot of people gave us feedback saying, hey, I can sign up for push notifications. That's great. But I have no way of knowing if my client code is failing or my server code is failing. I have no way of sending out test messages. So in Visual Studio, we added tooling that allows you to send sample messages. So let's see that. If I go to Server Explorer, go under the Notification Hub, I can send test notifications. Now, I can send messages to a particular tag, so I can choose to send updates to a dev category or a PM or test or whatever I want, or I can broadcast to all my tags. Let's do broadcast. Now, you can select from a variety of templates. For WNS, it's like things like Toast, Tile, Badge, and Raw. You can also send messages to the other platforms, like iOS, APNS, and the Google service as well. Let's send a Toast message. And things are going well so far, so I'm going to go with this. I'm going to be brave. Fingers crossed. Oh, yeah. Awesome. And in the future, we're also going to be adding tooling that allows you to view all the registrations that you have for your notification hub. So not only can you send messages, but you can also see who signed up to retrieve and receive those messages. So switching back to slides. And where is my clicker? Oh, there we go. The next thing I want to show you is a head-to-head app. So I have a mobile service. So far, I've set up my app. It's all done and ready. I can not only store data, I have authentication, I can send push notifications, I can store things on the cloud as well. Now what I want to show you and demonstrate is the ability to connect to third-party services. And so we're going to connect to something called Twilio. Now, what Twilio does is it gives you a number, like basically a phone line, and you can message in that phone line, and mobile services can then connect to it and parse those messages. So you can get a sense of how many messages have been sent, what sort of messages have been sent as well. So we're going to do something interesting. So it's going to be a head-to-head app. So it's a challenger versus a champion. So the past week's been pretty rough prepping for TechEd, and I'm just about ready to head out and grab a drink. So I want you to decide my next drink. Is it going to be a frozen margarita or an iced Mexican martini? It's a lot of pressure, guys. You have to vote. A frozen margarita. You can upload an image. Or an iced Mexican martini. Okay. So everyone, pull out your phones. Take them out. Please, take them out. And when I hit the start voting button, I want you to vote for what drink you want me to have after this talk. So text in your vote to 713-766-4424. It's a Houston number, so we're all serious about it. To vote for a frozen margarita, text 1, space, your message. If you want me to have an iced Mexican martini, 2, space, your message. So when I hit the start voting button, 1, 2, 3. So what's happening in the background? I have a mobile service that's connecting to this Twilio number. It pulls down all the messages that y'all are sending. It then sends out, it calculates who's the winner, it beams back the results and the messages to this client application, and if we're lucky, it'll also give an announcement of which drink I should be having. We need some like music in here, like beep, beep. Beep, build up some suspense. A few more seconds. I kind of hope it's the frozen margarita, but let's see. Ooh, frozen margarita, awesome. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I have a drinking problem. Okay, thank you. Just do a straight ticket, hook 'em. Olives are gross. Beer? All right. And if you guys are wondering, I did actually have a bad word filter. So if someone did send in some cuss words, we did take them out. So I just want to show you some of that code, and then we'll open up for questions. Let's take a look at the server side. So what I'm doing here is I set up a connection to Twilio. And again, I have secrets. Those secrets are only in my mobile service. My client does not have those secrets. It's authenticated only to speak to this mobile service. I then set up a connection to Twilio, and I say, hey, give me back all the messages that you've gotten. So we do some paging here. Then we parse through those messages and check how many of them contain one or two. Based on that, we'll tally up the counts. Once we've done the count, we'll go and announce the winner. And you'll notice that this code is very similar to what I had earlier for sending out a push notification. Basically, it just specifies a platform-specific message and then beams it back to the client. On the client, I've got something that reads those messages and basically does some sort of nice formatting so that it shows up. So what do you guys think? Pretty cool? So do we have any questions? Or let me give you a summary just to wrap things up. So today we saw with .NET Mobile Services and the tooling in Visual Studio, you can very, very easily set up a backend application that allows you to store data in the cloud, authenticate your users, interact with third parties like Azure Storage and Twilio, and send push notifications. The actual amount of code I wrote for both those applications is actually not a whole lot. Mobile services did most of the grunt work for me. So thank you very much. You've been an awesome audience, and it's been a lot of fun coming to Houston and coming to Houston again. Please come find me after this session if you have questions or at the booth. There's my email. Again, some of those people that have back-end services, if you're interested in getting into Visual Studio, please reach out to me. Some related content. Most of this is from things that have happened already. Please complete an evaluation. So my manager is here as well. And if I beat his score, I think I get to come back. Right, Dan? Yes? All right. So please evaluate this session. Are there any questions? Yes. I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I believe so, yeah. The question was that just a iClaims principle? Is there any other questions? Yeah, definitely. So we'll put up the head-to-head application on MSDN as a code sample. So if you want to use it for some of your all hands, you can definitely use it. And we've already got a ton of samples out there on the web. So the question was any of this going to be put up on the cloud? Yes. Yes, so the question was, some of the other clients like iOS and Android, do they use special libraries? Is that correct? They do, yes. So we've got client libraries for mobile services. So if you want to connect to mobile services, you can do that. For notification hubs as well, we've also got like Android packages and Xcode packages. Oh, and before I forget, because you've been such an awesome audience, I've got iHeart Visual Studio stickers. So please come pick them up. Any other questions? Come on, you got one question. Just ask. No? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could have added that as well. It was just the first one in the list. So really, you can go either through Azure Storage or you can go through the Azure Storage extension. It pretty much has the same library references. Great. Oh, one more question. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the question was, I have an existing web API application. Can I add mobile services to it? Absolutely. So all you need to do is you basically need to connect, I need to add your web API runtime NuGet packages, and you're good to go. The way we think of mobile services, again, is just web API, but it's mobile focused. Yes, one more question. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, in terms of mobile services on the roadmap, we're trying to add more services, like target more platforms. We're also trying to build in support for more services. So you saw for Azure Storage, I actually had to go and set it up myself. So in the future, we imagine we'll have like a very closely tied integration. So we're looking at how do we make it even easier to connect to other services. Any more questions? Yes.
Is the mobile service can only be consumed by the mobile device and not the PC or other?
No, your mobile service can also be consumed by web applications. But for example, if it depends on what you need to do. If, for example, you're just trying to retrieve data, you can go through mobile services because it's really just an API. But if you're doing some of the other richer things, like authentication or push notifications, that requires you to be on a mobile device. Any other questions? The floor is open, guys, and I'm here to answer your questions. Yes? I will be up. Yes, I will be putting it up online, yeah. So right after this session, we'll make sure to put it up. Great. Thank you very much. I will now be going for my frozen margarita. You're welcome to join me. Thank you.